Hello and welcome to another podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Judy.
And we just watched Jupiter Ascending.
We were going to watch really anything else, but we decided to watch Jupiter Ascending because Jason said it was so bad it was good. And sometimes that's exactly what I'm in the mood for.
Do you feel that it lived up to that assessment?
To be honest, I thought it was so bad, but I didn't quite get the good part about it. It seemed like it was trying to be a little too serious, and
True.
I can't say that I really had any idea what was going on for most of it.
Yeah, it doesn't have that same sort of wackiness that most so bad they're good movies
Yeah.
have. But I do think that Eddie Redmayne is so terrible in this
Eddie
movie
Redmayne had me
that
laughing pretty hard.
he's worth the price of admission. I don't even know what was going on in their minds when they made this movie with everything, but with especially with Eddie Redmayne. Like, were they watching the dailies and thinking, this is good,
Yeah, this is what we want.
this is a performance to be proud of? Like, I don't even understand his rationale. Like, I would love to sort of just have him sit down and explain where he came up with the voice. Why did he have that haircut? Like, you own the universe and like this is how you behave? It was just
Well,
so confusing.
aside from him, I'm just wondering, like, I only kind of got what was going on towards the end, which is a little too late for your audience to be aware of the plot. I didn't quite understand, like, right from the beginning, all I gathered was that these siblings were all trying to find Jupiter, but it wasn't clear why. They all sent different people out to find her, but it wasn't clear who sent whom. So I was all, the whole time I was just like, everyone's trying to kidnap her for different reasons. I'm not sure why. And there was so much exposition. Like, every single conversation that she has with Sean Bean is just like him explaining things to her, but in a very like mumbly voice. There were many times where I was just like, wait, what? Wait, what is that name thing? What does that mean? Like, I was not clear on anything the whole time.
Everyone is Basil Exposition in this movie. Her every exchange that she has with Channing Tatum in the first half of the movie, there's just so much that he has to explain. And every time she meets a new character, there's just so much that they have to explain. And a lot of it was like, there was a few times where you were like, oh wait, what was that thing? I was like, I have no idea. I just watched it with you and I couldn't follow along with the explanation because
Yeah.
A, I didn't care. B, I didn't know what they were talking about. And C, it was just, there was so much talking in this movie about things that otherwise didn't need to be spoken about.
Yeah, like it obviously is a very complex universe that they were trying to like only mention specific things that were relevant, but just I never really got a sense of what the universe is like. Like they'd be like, oh, it's this species and they do this. And Jupiter would be like, okay, what about this? And I'm just like, what do you mean, okay? Like, what does that even mean? What does that mean? Like, I didn't understand the whole spliced humans thing very well. I didn't understand what Legion Channing Tatum and Sean Bean got kicked out of and why. I don't understand why all of a sudden he had this dark past where he attacked someone important and doesn't remember how or why. Like, that just wasn't really explained. And they mention it several times because she's supposed to, like, not trust him. She's like, did you go crazy and attack someone? I don't remember doing it. Okay, like what?
This is another one of the weird, interesting, bizarre, kind of cool, but makes no sense aspects of this movie, which I think they're sort of channeling from Cloud Atlas. The Wachowskis were channeling from Cloud Atlas. Free will versus determinism. Are we programmed to do things, or do we have some choice in the matter? And so I feel like his whole thing about, oh, there was something defective in my genes that made me attack this royal. And so that's the kind of question that they keep looking through the movie, where it's, oh, well, you are the reincarnation of whoever it is, and therefore you must act a certain way. And she's constantly saying, no, whatever, that is my genetics, but it's not my
I
programming.
didn't really under yeah, I
It
didn't
will
really
it,
get a sense of why they kept talking about genetics because all it seemed to me to say by the end was, I may have been re reincarnated from your mother, but I'm not your mother.
yeah, it was
I'm a
just a
different person. Like, okay.
it all just amounts to a big so what.
Yeah.
It's not even a big weighty idea at that point. It's just, okay, she's just like, she's Nick Cage. She's an immortal. She just keeps getting reincarnated. So what? Why do I care about this? And I don't feel like they ever did a good job of explaining to me why I should care.
The climax of the movie seems to be
Of
when
which
he,
there are many.
there are many, but like one of them seems to be when the one guy is trying to marry her so that if I understand correctly, He can then legally kill her
I don't know
and
if he can legally
change.
kill
I don't know, he
her.
said something like that. Like
Yeah, okay, I couldn't follow.
something about like he can kill her and he won't get in trouble and everything she owns will be his. So it's like the three of them were supposed to inherit the earth, or Eddie Redmayne actually owned the earth. That's what was made clear in the beginning. But then they find out that she exists and she actually owns the earth. The weird thing is, what if just nobody had even done anything? Like, what if they'd
Yeah.
all just left her on Earth, pretended
Yep.
she didn't exist?
Yep.
There'd be no conflict. There'd be nothing. They
I
wouldn't have to hatch this elaborate plot where they marry her to kill her. Like,
Well,
it didn't need to happen.
this is the Voldemort phenomenon, the Anakin Skywalker phenomenon. If you just didn't do
Didn't do
something.
anything,
Luckily, there was
yeah.
no prophecy in this movie, but it doesn't make much sense. I don't really know who's doing what to whom and for what reason.
My understanding of the overall plot is that the Earth is a farming planet where people are being harvested in order to make these like fountain of youth type things. And it's like, isn't that kind of the plot of the Matrix?
Yeah.
Human beings are harvested
Yeah.
to create batteries.
And Soylent Green.
Right.
And this is also a plot thread in Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
It's there's a whole sort of subsection about factory farming of humans,
And
which
like
is
this
kind of the
one
plot of this
family kind
movie.
of controls it and they want more fountain of youth stuff so they can be young. I don't know why, but I thought that the girl, the sister, was their mom the whole time. I guess because she was significantly older
Until she
until she
de-aged.
de-aged, yeah. Which I was like, okay, well, do they just do that all the time? Is that the whole point of this movie that they want to own the earth? Like,
I think they already own the
what? Yeah,
Earth.
they already did. So, like, how would taking it from Jupiter make any difference? Like, they were already harvesting the
Who? Yeah,
100 humans per
well,
capsule
I don't
thing.
quite know who had the Earth at this point, because it was like, was it being held in escrow or something
Yeah, I don't
until her
know.
reincarnation came back? Like, they knew that the reincarnation was gonna come back or something? Or like, does this only happen once the person has died, that their DNA is reused? Because I mean, if she's lived 91,000 years,
Yeah.
then wouldn't it, within all of that span of time, wouldn't there have been somebody else on some planet somewhere who had that exact same
Well, yeah,
genetic
'cause
material? If this is what they're saying, that it's an inevitability?
why did people only notice that Mila Kunis existed and was the reincarnation at this particular time? Like how, like she must be like 30 or something in this movie. Like
Yeah.
what happened before that? Like why was there never an issue?
Yeah, did she only come into existence when the original died? And in that case, who's been in control of the Earth for
Yeah.
30 years?
Yeah. I don't know when the original actually died.
Or did Eddie Redmayne get it after she died? And it's just, I think that's the, oh, right, that was the first scene when you first see them, and they're talking about a harvesting of a planet, and then he's like, oh, yeah, can I just have Earth? And Eddie Redmayne says, no. The planet belongs to me.
Is more valuable than all of your put together. Oh, I'm
Yeah.
sorry, you couldn't hear that, right? Well, we couldn't hear him throughout the entire movie. I was trying really hard to read his lips as he talked, but he barely moved them, so.
Was like watching just like a duck kind
It
of like quack,
was
quack,
like,
quack, quack.
why are you talking like that? And I just felt like there was such a ridiculous amount of exposition in this movie. So many things that everyone kept accepting, like,
There was so
as
much.
undeniable fact, like the bees
So much.
react to royalty.
It felt like
The
this
fucking
weird.
bees? Like,
Of
why?
all things to program to recognize royalty, it's bees. It's
Yeah.
not like people who might have, like people who would benefit from being programmed to be able to recognize royalty. It's like, no, it's the bees. Which then is, for me, this whole question of, okay, so there actually is like a genetic distinction between an entitlement person and a regular person. Like, you actually are saying at a genetic level that they are superior or different in some way, which kind of goes against your whole thing about, oh, she's just another average, ordinary person. Like, no, it's empirically proven
Yeah.
that her DNA sequence is not like the rest of them.
But it's
So
like, why?
maybe, yeah, why for what purpose, but like, and why that, gives her some sort of divine right to rule. But okay, fine.
Yeah, I guess so. She's special, but
In
it's
what
never
way?
explained. And she just kind of accepts everything. Like, someone
Yeah.
explains something to her, and she's like, okay, well, then what about this? Okay, what about this? And then she makes a move on Channing Tatum, like, at least 4 times throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And it kind of confused me, especially the first time. I was just like, wait a second. Didn't, like, a million things just happen to you? Didn't you just almost get killed a bunch of times? And the only thing you're concerned about is macking on this
well, it's the speed
werewolf
phenomenon, you
dude.
Know.
Like, it was
Sandra
just,
Bullock and Keanu Reeves get together
it was
because
just,
it's a high tense.
Yeah, it was just really weird. And then he kind of rejects her, and then she like goes for it again, and then she goes for it again, and I'm just like,
and I could never quite understand
why
he kept rejecting her either, because it just at first I thought it was because he hates entitled.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just didn't like her because of that. But then it was just more like, oh no, you wouldn't want me
just
because I'm a wolf.
I think he just had low self-esteem.
Low self-esteem is, at the end of the day, Channing Tatum, as a wolf-lichen man, has no self-esteem.
Yeah.
No game.
And like, why did nobody else in the movie seem to be like a half-animal?
Well, I think Sean Bean was. And
they
I
said
think
something about his wings.
Yeah, oh god. Everything about this movie just felt like some sort of wet dream for fantasy people who just, like, oh, I've always just want to see a big strapping man wearing wings. Or, like, I want to watch, like, a wolf cub man fight a gargoyle in a gothic cathedral on fire.
There were all of these.
It's like Stefan made this movie where he was just like, this film has everything.
There were a lot of side characters in this movie that got a lot of screen time, but we never really found out anything about them. Like, the three bounty hunters are very present in the first half of the movie.
We don't even know where they...
We don't know their names. We don't really understand what their goals are. We know that they work... Were they working for Eddie Redmayne?
I don't know. And they
I don't
get,
know.
I think they're working for the sister, and they get paid, and then they just disappear. And it's like, oh, okay. Why do they get so much screen time if they're
a
non sequitur?
Yeah, and they're not even named. They don't have personalities at all. I know there were three of them, but I actually can't remember who the third one was.
Oh yeah, he was the oh in the no, but then he got killed in the cornfield or something. I can't like I don't even
oh,
know
right,
why
the cornfield.
What by. It's so confusing.
Okay, and why... I was very confused at the beginning. Jupiter is hanging out with that rich chick and helping her pick out a dress, and suddenly the rich chick gets, like, abducted
That's
by aliens.
That's another non sequitur.
Because she is named Kathleen or Catherine whatever, which is the name that the aliens have on file. Why did they have that person's name on file?
I know.
And then where, like... And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Mila Kunis is like, I'm gonna go... sell my eggs and use this woman's name. Why would she use the woman of a name she works? The name of a woman
is
she
that
works
what happened?
For.
I've watched it twice and I still don't understand what I've seen.
Yeah, and she said at some point, yeah, everybody uses a fake name when they go do that.
But uses her boss's name.
Why would she use
and
the name
the aliens,
of someone she works for? Like,
why did the aliens have that name?
Why do they have that name?
And they're all about DNA and genes and stuff. And like, yet it all just comes down to looking at the DMV registry for an address or something, and it doesn't make... I couldn't figure it out. And why, with a movie that is this long and this complicated, do you need to spend... And with this much world building, they spend the first 20 minutes just, like, throwing curveballs at the audience about the plot. Like, why are you bringing up this whole thing about harvesting? Like, because the whole rest of the movie is about actual human harvesting. Was this some sort of...
I think it was
similarity,
sort of a
but
small foreshadow or
but it was
something.
So
like
ham-fisted
it,
and so confusing.
It didn't make sense. It really threw me out of the plot.
Why is her cousin Australian and they're all Russian? I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't know. And I also don't really get why it goes directly from her like cleaning toilets to then on the internet being like, I need money for...
After an alien abduction.
Right after an alien abduction, I need money for a telescope. Oh, I'm going to actually harvest my eggs. And then the cousin was like, I'm going to get 10,000 and you're going to get 5,000. Like, that's not how selling eggs works. Just the person who's doing it gets money. Like,
yeah, why
just,
did she even need him?
I don't know.
It was, and again, it was like this movie's so overstuffed and you felt the need to have this character of the cousin in the movie. And then like... The non sequitur where he's already bought all the stuff and he's playing, I think it's Dark Souls. And it's weird because in Dark Souls, there literally is a scene where you fight a bunch of gargoyles on top of a gothic cathedral.
Oh.
And it just feels like they were playing this game and then they were like, hey, we should have a scene at the end of the movie where Channing Tatum fights a gargoyle in a gothic cathedral.
There were a lot of scenes in this movie that were too short on the explanations and several that were way too long. Like, what was up with the 15-minute scene of them going to a million different lines?
I know.
To register her title. I
so
get
that
they
get
were trying to show all the different
Yeah.
Things.
It's like we're on Coruscant.
It meant
Coruscant,
nothing.
And
yeah.
We've got to see how this planet of
It meant nothing. It didn't
works.
Teach me anything about how the planet works.
Well, it's so that we could have the punchline where she says, I'll never complain about the DMV again.
Yeah.
That's why we had to sit through
which,
5 minutes
which
of
is
bullshit.
Like, yeah, it was quite a long time. And I was like, okay, so it's hard for her to get her title. Like,
yeah.
Why do you have to show us this many things that she's
and
doing?
And we have to meet the droid man person who, like,
yeah.
And then he has to meet
his other alter ego. Like, what was that
and
about?
And I was just like, what are we trying to figure out here? What are we supposed to take away from this?
I felt like at the end of every scene, I just kept thinking, like, what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
what should I be taking away from this scene?
And so I feel like this is the sort of train wreck aspect of it, is that there's so much money on the screen. Like, it looks really expensive. The special effects are incredible. The costumes are beautiful. The cinematography is really inventive and creative, especially towards the end. And all of it is just, it's all based around telling a story that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And just feels like it was devised during a weekend getaway to a cabin or something. And all got really drunk and said, let's write a script. None of it seems like they actually took the time to think through any of the moments to think, you know, I bet you every scene in this movie cost like $5 to $10 million. And the scene on the planet where they go from room to room to room, like there's every new scene is a new location.
Yeah,
it's
a
new costume. It's a
like,
new character.
Yeah.
It's like, it took so much time to do all this. And it's just, why would you even make this? Like, why did you think this was necessary to show us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really get why a lot of those scenes kept going on and on. It felt like, okay, to be honest, it felt like a very long Doctor Who episode. Like, when I used to...
And you don't like Doctor Who.
Well, I just kind of got sick of it because every single episode featured the Doctor and his companion going to a new planet where they have to jam in tons of exposition into 45 minutes just to throw a bunch of shit at you.
Yeah.
So that you get a sense of what's happening in the world, but you only get a tiny little tidbit of information here and there. That is what this entire movie felt like.
And when in doubt, uses a sonic screwdriver.
Right, of course.
Which was the Channing Tatum gravity boots in this movie.
Right.
When
every
in
time
doubt,
he was
gravity
like,
the shit out of it.
Okay, how many friggin' times did Jupiter fall down something?
So that he could use his boots.
Like, it happened so many times. I was like, this is really an overused danger damsel thing right now.
This is the problem. By the end of the movie, it's supposed to be this epic climax.
Yeah.
But it's just been the same level of destruction and spectacle that I've been seeing throughout the whole movie.
It didn't seem epic
at all. So I was just like, this is just another action scene in this movie. Like, I think if we hadn't seen five different action sequences of Channing Tatum riding around on gravity boots, the finale when he finally uses them, you would have been like, holy shit, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't working or something, and now they're suddenly he's got them working.
Yeah,
but
you see it constantly.
It's another bunch of explosions and stuff, and it's all beautiful, and the architecture is beautiful. But again, it's like I'm numb by the end of it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. The whole battle sequence at the end, I was just really confused about what actually was going on because I was like, okay, the only thing that's really happening is Eddie Redmayne is trying to kill Jupiter. I don't even remember his real name in the movie.
I only want
to
be one bitch on this planet.
He's trying to kill her, but at the same time, the entire, I don't know, city is collapsing and she keeps going higher and higher and higher so that she can keep falling down things over and over again.
Yes.
And I at least thought that at some point she would exhibit some sort of special power.
Right.
She does nothing.
She doesn't even summon bees to attack
him. She doesn't summon bees. All she does is picks up a fucking pipe and starts hitting him with it, which I'm happy she did at least that. But like, she doesn't do anything special at all.
Yeah. Why did they make it so that she actually was genetically superior in some way? If it doesn't translate into any sort of ability of any kind. Channing Tatum has more powers than she does. Like, you see the scene with Sean Bean where he can, like, has extrasensory perception, right? Where they're shooting through all of the machines to get to the wedding.
I don't remember that.
Right, because it's just another bunch of shit exploding in your face.
Yeah, I didn't really get that there was anything special going on.
But, like, they show you and he can, like, everything is, like, in slow motion and it's almost bullet time and he can, like, see things coming at him faster. I'm like, that is a sort of extrasensory perception. Like, there's some sort of level of aptitude that he possesses that other people don't. And I thought maybe, like, what's her special power? She's really good at cleaning toilets
essentially.
Or, like, the family has a special aptitude for bureaucracy or...
Yeah, and then the end is just like, she's back to cleaning toilets again,
but
is in a very good mood about it, and then she's like, well, how do I tell my family I own the planet? I guess I'm not. What is her life?
They plop down the Joseph Campbell, you know, textbook on screenwriting. And so, you know, we have to have this initiation, separation, and return. She has to return, and they have to show you, they have to go through all the stuff that she struggled in her life before, which is cleaning toilets and waking up on time and dealing with her family, and show how this adventure has changed the way in which she interacts with her family. So she's able to clean toilets, and she's able to wake up on time and make the coffee, and
like
doesn't fight with her family anymore.
It made no sense that she was so chipper doing all those things after. If it were me, I'd be like, I own the universe, or the Earth, and also there's a vast universe out there.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be just doing this with my life. Like, why was she in such a good mood about it?
Well, Channing Tatum even says, why don't you tell them? And she's like, they wouldn't believe me. I'm like,
of course they fucking wouldn't.
Yeah, no, but you have gravity boots. Yeah. You're flying around. Your boyfriend has wings.
But isn't it like, weren't they kidnapped and all there?
I guess their
stuff?
Memories
like, do they not remember anything?
But she could just call down a spaceship and say, look, guys, I'm the queen of the universe.
Yeah.
We don't have to clean toilets anymore. But no, she's just like, no, that's like what spoiled Eddie Redmayne. I don't want that for my family.
It's like she wants to just have everything go back to like the humble, normal, quiet life she had before, where she doesn't, where she just like hangs out with her family all day and then goes fucking flying in the evening.
But that's so counterintuitive with the characterization that she had at the beginning. Like, the only reason why she's selling her eggs is so she can get a telescope, because she wants to explore
she wants
what's
more
out there.
In her life.
And then she knows that there's more out there. And it's almost like, I'm suffering from like Dorothy syndrome. I'm never going to leave my own backyard.
Yeah, and the kid's all like, let's put it on the roof. And instead of going and using the telescope, she's just like, nah, I'm busy.
Yeah, I'm going to go make out with my dog.
My dog boyfriend. It's like, yeah, you're right. She wants so badly to escape, and then she's just like, I'm happy where I am.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's the Wizard of Oz. She
I
goes on this
so.
Adventure, and she just says, I'm never going to leave home again. Like, she's just emotionally and intellectually hobbled at that point.
Yeah.
She's just like, the universe has been so evil to her. She met, well, I mean, you even got the three. You got the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion and the... whatever the other one is.
Who was the Scarecrow? Let's break this down.
All the siblings. They teach her something new.
Right, I see.
Yeah. What is with her almost marrying her son?
Yeah.
He's like...
It was actually because he's all like, I want you to be my heir.
Yeah.
Mom, let's get married.
And she's just like,
okay.
And then she's like, no, I won't do it. And he's like, fine, I didn't want to marry you anyways. By the way, your boyfriend left. And she's like, okay, I'll do it. What is the logic of this movie? Like, it's drunk logic. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, why was she convinced that by marrying her sort of son, she could have power over the Earth? She already owned the Earth.
I don't get...
It made more sense when he said, do it or I'll kill your family.
Yeah, and I like that Jupiter was actually able to logic out, like, wait a minute, even if I give you the Earth, you'll still kill me eventually.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh...
Oh, right.
Yes, but...
I didn't expect you to work that out.
So that's her special power. She's not a total
she's
idiot.
She's not a total idiot, but she's very gullible.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I do think that this movie is going to have some afterlife to it. I think it will be resurrected, simply because it's just so weird. There's just so much, like, it's a textbook example of how not to make a blockbuster.
Yeah, it's just
like people should watch this movie and realize,
so many
like,
explosions.
Because it has all of the elements and all the ingredients needed for it to have been a smash success.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the Channing Tatum. Got the Mila Kunis. It's got the gravity boots. You get the Eddie Redmayne. It's got wings.
It's got a fountain of youth pool.
It's got a fountain of youth pool. It's got the special effects. The costumes are amazing.
It's got space. It's got Sean Bean.
Michael Giacchino's... Sean Bean doesn't die in this movie.
Doesn't die.
It breaks with all cliches at that point.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, this movie should work.
It should work.
It does some really awesome world building, but it doesn't work on every level.
Yeah, it tries to rush through a lot, and I feel like the plot is extremely simple, but they kept making it overly complicated. Because mostly, there were too many scenes with the three siblings conversing, but you didn't understand what they were talking about. I was really paying attention, and I was like, wait, so they're trying to find a person who's special for some reason, and like it took a very long time for me to piece together that it was the resurrection of their mother, like the reincarnation, took me even longer to piece together that Earth was being harvested. There was too much time wasted mm-hmm. with conversations with the three of them where yeah. you didn't know where they were going. So the movie ends up feeling very long without a lot happening.
Even watching it again, there were times where, I think I saw it like a couple months ago, and you were asking me questions, and I was like, you know what, I literally just saw this movie, and I can't even remember the answer to this question. And then we watched it, and I was just like, wait, what was your question? You were like, I don't know, I have like 15 others.
What a weird movie.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Jupiter Ascending. That's all of our thoughts on it. I don't think there's
I was mostly very confused, and I actually was kind of excited about this movie because I was like, oh, it's an original sci-fi movie. It wasn't
even that original.
No, it's not original, but like it's not based on anything. So I had higher hopes for it. I was like, yes, I'm going to support some original sci-fi. I watch it and I'm like, did they like not even write a script? I don't get it.
And this is why I almost think that there needs to be a distinction made between like original sci-fi and like Hollywood sci-fi, because Edge of Tomorrow is kind of a gray area between. It's like Hollywoodized original mm-hmm. sci-fi, but it's very interesting original sci-fi. And so if you look at that one...
Well, it is based on a book.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's based on a Japanese short novel.
Oh, okay.
Which is really, really good.
But I think that is a sort of area in which I'd like to see science fiction movies go. Yeah. And this is an example of a movie, of a direction I just don't want to see them go because it's just nonsense.
Yeah, and you never really feel like anyone's in serious danger ever. This is like my big problem with many action-oriented movies where you don't really ever feel that the stakes are high because they have it like cranked up to 11 the entire time.
Well, by the time she fell for the 15th time, there was no tension.
He's gonna fucking swoop in with his gravity boots again. Yeah.
I mean, the first action scene, they totally blow their wad. Because every element that happens in all the other action scenes is in that first scene.
The chase scene is so long. Yeah. Because you don't even know who's chasing them.
I don't know why they're chasing them. And it was like, this is like 10 to 15 minutes of screen time that, granted, I didn't need more exposition because we've just had three scenes of exposition with Channing Tatum. But it was just like, I stopped caring because it was one more, now they're on the ship. Now they're in the water. So what?
No one cares. Yeah. Well, this movie was... I mean, I'm kind of glad I saw it, actually.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is the weird thing. I would still watch this movie again, just simply because it's so pretty to look at.
It is pretty, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
If you, any of you, can watch it and try to piece it together your first time around...
Yeah.
Congrats to you. You're probably used to watching horrible sci-fi movies.
Do you think that it was it's one of those... movies that maybe we were just being really stupid and not getting that, you know, I could see someone saying like, oh, well, if you actually just sort of are willing to put in the effort to put it together, it's actually a really rewarding
film. I was trying really hard to pay attention.
Yeah.
I feel like my attention was there.
Yeah.
And it was like, I could kind of piece it together. But again, there were so many scenes with exposition where they're just kind of mumbling a lot of things and mentioning a lot of names of species and places, and I'm like, what? Wait.
It was hard to tell when they were doing exposition as world building or universe building in this instance, or exposition for the plot so that we would know what was coming in the next little bit. Like, it was hard to figure out what I was supposed to be paying attention to, because it was like, oh, this is important to pay attention to if you're interested in the universe, and this is important to pay attention to because it's literally where the movie's going to go.
Yeah, I even felt very confused about the conversation about evolution. It was like, humans were born on another planet, and then...
A billion years ago,
and then there were dinosaurs on Earth, which they killed?
Yeah, also...
She says something, and then she goes, are you talking about dinosaurs? Yeah. I'm like, where did you even get that?
Well, because he's talking about sauropods or something, a very hostile species of sauropods and thing. And I was just like, okay, but none of the numbers add up because, like, you know, dinosaurs went extinct like 65 million years ago, not a billion.
Yeah.
You know, mankind has only been around for, you know, what, like 100,000 years? So where were they being kept for like 10 times this length of time?
Know. Maybe they were just making up numbers.
I didn't think that there was anything left to say about this movie, but clearly there's still some, like, their tenuous grasp of biology and, you know, evolution and... evolutionary biology and evolutionary history, it almost makes me angry.
I also was very interested in the different species. Like, why did some people have very large ears? And why was Channing Tatum spliced with a wolf and then in the army or something? And why do you also have wings?
Right. Like, well, it's the Rocket Raccoon brand of logic, you know. Why not a raccoon?
Yeah. So weird.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Let us know what you think in whatever comment section exists. Not quite sure. We still haven't decided where we're putting these things
true,
yet.
We haven't.
So
tell us if you think the movie was great and that and we're morons.
Yeah, please tell us that we're moronical. We would love to hear that. Yeah, I guess at this point we could even say if you guys are liking what we're doing, subscribe somehow. We'll find a way to.
We'll find a way.
We'll find a way. And feel free to suggest movies that we should be watching.
Yes, we will watch pretty much anything.
We will watch anything you throw at it, and we'll take a crack at it. Who knows? You might like what we have to say, or you might hate us forever. Hopefully it's the former. But maybe you wanted to be the latter.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening.